Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We'll routine to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Awe, 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 awe
something happening here. But what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn, and nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds, are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. Thousand people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. The West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures
dreams of the Broadway night, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
see through you. I see through you. The dirty tricks you make me sick. I see through you. I see through you. I'm gonna do it again. I'm gonna do it again. Will someone try, open up your eyes? You must be blind if you can't see the gaping hole called reality. Wanna do it again? I'm gonna do it again. Wanna do it again? Come on, I'm gonna do it again.
Pleasure. expect to see you again. For I'm bound to ride that Northern Railroad. Perhaps I'll die upon this train. Perhaps he'll die upon this train. Sleeping in my grave,
while he is sleeping in his grave.
Maybe your friends think I'm just a stranger. My face you never will see no on God's golden shore.
He'll meet you on God's golden shore.
working too late. So bring your body with you, baby, and I'll make you feel right. It's a freaky celebration of a natural kind, and the pleasure you'll experience will blow your mind. I'm not in the tonight. Move that body from left to right. For all you fresh bucks off the rock, will blow your mind.
Some classified adverts I chanced to peruse when I saw a category called steampunk. I turned to it eagerly but left in a funk, for I quite enjoy the steampunk aesthetic, but what I beheld there was rather pathetic. These intrepid online auctioneers are just taking modern objects and stuck on some gears.
It's simply not cricket, it shouldn't be done,
but it's clear how their thoughts had run.
Just threw some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper-painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
But it got even worse than that, I'm afraid, and as I went on, I became more dismayed, for they often didn't modify the things they wanted me to buy.
Heavens to Betsy, I'll end up on regretsy.
Steampunk is more than a mere mode of dress or decoration, so it brings me some distress to see a metal cicada described with that name. Or a teacup, a mood ring, a silver gilt frame. Gluing on gears at least takes effort. This is sloth of the worst.
Just do some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper-painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
Steampunk refers to a type of science fiction about alternate past, not future prediction. Often set in Victorian Britain, but the history of technology has been rewritten. So put a bit of thought into your designs. Use leather and brass, 19th century lines. Retrofuturistic is a good explanation. Blend antique reality with imagination. But calling things steampunk to try to sound cool makes you look like a bloody fool.
Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper-painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
Gauges and rivets, copper tubing and glass lend a steampunk creation a real touch of class. Gears are appropriate to introduce if they look like they have a legitimate use. Although Nixie tubes are undeniably splendid, they date from long after the age of steam ended. Pity really, I just love Nixie tubes. Anyway, I hope you've comprehended. So use the word steampunk correctly, old chap, and don't use it to refer to crap.
Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper-painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
Cable.
I get knocked down, but I get up again. Ain't never gonna keep me down. Hey, I think I'm holding my own during this Australian invasion. What do you guys think?
Can you catch a drop here?
Hey, did you see the one that was on my head the other day?
I did.
Yeah, I was trying worried. To suck my brains out, man. But, I just like touch I guess it did get my brain.
It already popped.
Okay, so Shaziz ain't got no brains anymore, so somebody else is going to have to take the lead. What you guys think about the whole world and all that kind of stuff? Anything exciting happening besides this Australian invasion and Australians driving around in America?
Yeah. or is that what's on your mind? Are you scared?
Shannon, I would just love to know what was going on in the back of your mind as Cultus was pulling out onto the road.
Oh my gosh. Like I wasn't scared, but I was like, oh dear.
I had sweaty armpits and I wasn't
That's
even there.
When he hit, it wasn't so bad about, you know, the ladies, you know, look to him when, you know, she takes the ditch or Cultus moves over, but...
Yeah, I heard you trying to say, he's from Australia.
There's got to be some kind of excuse there. But it was the pothole, the going off the road, the pothole, man.
Went off the road. It sounds like I went, like, you know, 30 foot off the road.
Oh, just so you know, the pothole is past the white line.
Well, all I know is I had my hands over my eye, and I'm looking, peeking through my fingers, and my armpits are all sweaty, and I'm like, ah, we're all going to die.
I love you guys, too.
Aww, he did.
You seem like an excellent driver.
Thank you, Dodd. Thank you. I'll buy you a beer.
All right.
These two.
We just didn't hear your sarcasm, by
You know, all in all, you did a fine job. Now, can I have my beer?
Yeah.
Nah.
No, man.
Good thing I don't drink.
Yeah, but I think that's exciting, man. Shoot, man, I was telling you about the mail trucks over here. They got the steering wheel on the right side. He should buy him a mail truck. He'd feel right at home.
Yeah. Except for he still cannot drive on the other side of the road.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, maybe don't give me a steering wheel on the other side of the car and make me feel really comfortable like I'm at home, hmm?
Yeah, see, that was what was freaking me out, was the thinking, like, you know, he's been trained to drive on that side of the road for so long, and just one day he just, like, out of reflex, just jumps on the wrong side of the road and starts tooling along.
I know.
And everybody's giving him the international distress signal as they drive by.
The middle finger.
Yeah.
My more main concern is the interstate and the, I guess.
Yeah, you'll have to
the
take...
The fact that everybody else is scared but Cultus.
Yeah.
They'd be like, what? He'd be like, what? I'm doing all right. This is how we drive.
I do have one of those window markers. I could totally mark up the windows and be like, stay far away. Like, you know
like those little... Like those little signs that they put, like a child on board or something like that, put Australian on board. or
Aussie on board.
Yeah.
Aussie driving.
Oh, man. You know we're going to give you a rash, Cultus. You're on our turf now.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
It'll be all right. We'll put a little coconut oil on it or something.
Yeah, we'll take care of you, brother. Oh, what a way. What a wonderful world, man.
Well, I have to teach my daughter how to drive, so I figured okay, if I can do it with her, then surely I can do it with Cultus.
Well, who's a fully licensed driver and has been driving all his life.
Well,
since he was like six.
Sage is fully licensed, although...
Oh, yeah, but you guys, you fully licensed as soon as you get your license.
Yeah.
Whereas in America, we've got probationary period for like two years for me, because I was older when I actually decided to go and get my license. So, you know, fully licensed means that I've gone through my probationary stage. I've you know, done all that. But previous to that, I drove since I was like 6 years old. I jumped in my first car when I was six.
Well, as I was watching that video, I kept seeing these cars whiz by. I mean, it was like, soon, soon, you know.
Yeah, like, we drive like freaking NASCAR drivers in Australia, dude.
Did you guys like have your foot on the carburetor while you were going?
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing putting both feet on the gas pedal, but you guys must have had your foot on the carburetor or something. Oh, man. It was kind of neat, though, seeing all them cars over there. They kind of look weird-looking little cars, dude.
Yeah. You got some relatively neat, weird-looking cars here, too.
Yeah.
We have some big trucks with big tires and...
Yeah, it's like Texas. Everything's bigger in Texas. Go over there, they got big cars.
We have a lot of farm boys here in this town, so they like to have their big trucks and big... I haven't got to show him the big one yet, but I'm sure he'll see it around town. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's got like this huge, huge pipe. Like, it comes out the back of the bed of the truck, up the top, kind of like a diesel would. But it's just, man.
Yeah, they call them stacks.
That's a smokestack.
If you walk up to your truck and you hit your head on the kick panel, you know it's a big truck.
What's that lump on your head? I walked into my step on my truck.
Oh, man. I got a friend named Chad that cracks me up. Because he can't be much more than 5 feet tall. I mean, if he's more than 5 feet tall, I'd be amazed. But he's a short cowboy, and his truck is so tall that you should see when he gets in there, he's got to, like, put one leg way up in the air, grab a hold of the steering wheel, and prop himself up in there. And he said one day he forgot, after he put the body lift on his truck, about how tall his truck really was, and fell face first out of the truck. I said, that must have hurt. Hey, add Thomas into the call there.
I had a truck once that we put a 6-inch lift kit on it. It had these huge, massive tires on it. And I had to, like, we were thinking about, because I am 5 foot tall. So I'm like, man, I'm going to have to run and jump up in this thing. But I liked it. It gave me the short girl syndrome thing. You know, I was able to see all around me, and it was nice.
Cool. Now, I seen this really short granny lady driving a big old Cadillac, and all you could see is her eyes over the dash. It's like, ain't that kind of dangerous?
My sister is 4'11", and they actually, in their truck, have to have installed a block for her on the accelerator.
Hey, Thomas, you there, brother?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you great. I played your song earlier.
You played my song?
Yeah, your steampunk song.
Oh, the Just Blew Some Gears on It?
Yeah, I said if Thomas was here, I'd play the song, and then she was talking about she liked gears, so I said, here, I'll play this song, you can hear what it sounds like.
How do you not know Shannon doesn't like cogs?
Well, I know that. Man, what you trying to say?
Shannon loves the cog.
So...
Oh my goodness.
All right, so you know, I didn't even watch.
Moving on.
Normally I usually watch the news to kind of see what's going on in the world whenever I get up in the morning and I'm having my morning cup of coffee, you know, and my eyes are all Chinese looking and I'm like, you know, I can't even hardly see the TV. I can see like maybe three of each people on the screen. And so I try to figure out what's going on in the world. Does anybody know what's going on in the world today or anything?
I don't watch the news. It's disturbing.
It's depressing.
Yeah, and half of it's fake. So, like,
yeah,
what do
you
do?
Yeah, I was going to say, post fear porn anyway, man.
Fear porn. Yeah, Tommy's fear porn.
Yeah, news is fear porn, man. It's basically there to tantalize your fear factor, kind of like a roller coaster ride, you know?
Well, I do notice that my days go a whole lot better when I don't wake up to the news.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. That's it.
So maybe I just ought to take that doggone TV set and kick it to the curb, man. Roll it down the hill. No, wait, better yet, I'll take the flyback transformer out of it.
I was about to say, crack it open. Crack it open. Salvage so, that much, this is.
Yeah. All right, well, we got a plan now.
Don't forget the copper wire that's in behind the tube there.
Yeah. So, now what?
Granada Steve just said, okay, Shaziz, I'm here in...
Great. Okay, you guys go ahead and talk. I'm going to...
Are we inviting Inspector Clouseau in?
He's you going know, to investigate the dead air.
Some of those Pink Panther, some of those Pink Panther movies, I just love those old Pink Panther movies, man. You ever seen any of those old movies?
Years and years ago, dude.
They're just a hoot, man. I like when they had. Actually, it was Bruce Lee there for a while that played the Green Hornet inside the Pink Panther. Did you know that?
I did not know
the
that.
Which?
Yeah, Bruce Lee played the Green Hornet in the. Yeah.
You mean he was basically playing a role in the Pink Panther movies about the same time he was playing Kato?
Yeah. He did.
Because those are two separate gigs there. You know, two separate universes.
But he was in one of them. I'm pretty sure about that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That would be a nice crossover, too. I mean, you know, to get away from, some of the fear porn for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what, you know, I love comedy. Comedy makes you feel good inside. Anything that laughs and, you know, makes you laugh, you know, because I think laughter is good medicine. Anybody disagree with that?
Laughter is the best medicine.
I think it depends on what you're laughing at.
Well, we were laughing at Cultus' driving.
Are you laughing at someone or are you laughing with them? You know, that's the question.
Always with them.
Yeah, we were laughing with Cultus. Of course.
Cultus wasn't laughing. Cultus was crying.
you mean that we were laughing, they were laughing with you, you just hadn't caught up yet?
Yeah, that's what it was.
That's the one, yeah. It's too early in the morning. I had a sook.
Thomas, it was that daylight savings time. That's our excuse and we're sticking to it. We lost an extra hour of sleep this morning. Everybody woke up and they're all... You should have heard them when they got on the line first. The first two were Cultus and Diadon, and they're all like, oh, God.
Oh, man.
Hey, how you doing, you know? So that's the reason why... If anybody tuned in when the Knights of the Round Table started first, that's why we played so many songs, because we were like trying to get our coffee to kick in before we could even say anything.
And my coffee percolator broke.
Yeah, I couldn't get my left eye to open up because I was like still asleep. Only half my brain. And that drop bear that was on my head there, Cultus, that there did something there.
Yep.
Hey, Thomas, have you seen that picture yet? You should shoot him over a link. Well, I got a new hat.
You got a new hat?
Yeah, if you got that link, Cultus, send it over to Thomas. You can see that new hat.
All right. We'll grab all of it.
So, Thomas, you know anything new going on in the world?
I don't know. What aspect?
I don't know.
What were you guys talking about before I got on here?
We were talking about the Australia.
That was taking the Mickey out of me.
We were talking about the Australian invasion of America. It's already begun. I mean, we've already got Australian troops on the shore and driving around, and I was like trying to tell everybody stay off the sidewalk and out the trees because a drop bear might have followed them in or something like that, you know. And so, you know, I told him don't panic because I think we can get through this.
The state of emergency Cultus has landed.
Yeah. It was funny because yesterday I tried to do an emergency broadcast thing. I even typed it in the chat room in there, and somebody was typing in there, oh, Cultus, you went to America too soon. Obama's bombing Russia. And it was all I could do to keep from freaking laughing while I was trying to, you know, sound serious as I'm about to tell everybody the Australians have invaded the U.S.
I should ask Cultus, did you get a chance to try out the little something that was waiting for you when you got there?
The what? Oh, my goggles.
Yeah. Haven't heard hide nor tail from
her. Dave Shannon turns around and he's wearing hers right now. I love it.
Hey, glue some gears on it.
Yeah, glue some gears on it. We can sell them on eBay.
I wonder if you could sell me on eBay if you glued some gears on me.
Man, we can sell you on eBay the way you are.
Dang, I bet a
bevel lettuce.
I bet that'd fetch a whole hefty 50 cents.
Hey man, we'll get a quarter for you. It's all right.
Plus tax. That's $50 for those of you who can't count.
Yeah.
Did you ever see my
that's
video?
That's been a little bit annoying. That has to be something that's annoying. You go and you purchase something off the shelf, and then you get to the register, and it's like 10% extra.
Oh, the one that I like better than that is this commercial that comes on TV where they say auctioneers don't make good checkout counter people or whatever. And the lady comes up there with her groceries, and he starts auctioning off her stuff. And the guy behind her, he's outbidding the lady that brought her stuff up to the counter. I about died laughing. That was just a hoot, man. Sometimes that's the only thing worthwhile watching on TV is the funny cartoons, man.
That's about all I watch. Otherwise, I'm like trying to find a documentary.
Yeah, I like the Science Channel and the Discovery Channel and the History Channel whenever they're like not twisting history.
We were watching a documentary the first day I got here, actually, and we learned that methane gas gets caught in snow and burns black.
Cool.
Just saying. Like, you know.
Is methane gas naturally released from the earth?
Yeah.
It is?
Yeah.
Volcanic activity releases it all the time, and with all this ice that's melting off, there's tons of it trapped in that ice.
The freeze tundra.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you want to worry about something damaging the ozone layer, that's the stuff right there. Mm-hmm. Humanity isn't doing hardly anything.
Yeah, well, you know what? Look, go look at my video, Caveman Killed the Dinosaur, and that will explain the whole...
If you have not seen that video, find it, watch it. It is a hoot.
Yeah. Well,
if you look
another
at
public
history,
service announcement by Shaziz.
Yeah, and how often we get hit by meteorites that cause major damage. I think we got a lot more to worry about getting hit by a meteorite than we do by the planet farting on us. So.
Well, I agree, but there's a plus about getting hit by meteorites because I watched this one show on the Science Channel where these guys go out metal detecting and they're like selling these meteorites for sometimes $50,000 a pop. So
depending on what's in the meteorite, I mean, it's already been documented many times that a gem dug out of the ground is worth nothing compared to a gem that you can verify comes from a meteorite.
Yeah, see, now that's what I'm talking about. If one bashes through the shed of my the shed out in my yard, I'm hocking it on eBay, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying.
hey, I'm sure you got some jars you can sell with ghosts and before that.
What'd you say?
I got a shoebox with three ghosts in it. Do you reckon that'll be worth more?
How you get a ghost in a shoebox?
It's hard, man. I can't that's a secret.
Did you like sneak up on him or something?
Hey, yeah, you just run up behind him and just go shut him in the box.
Do you know what a blackjack is?
No.
It's like they used to use them back in the old days when the thugs would take it's like a flexible billy club and they walk up and they slap somebody in the back of the
I've seen that done in like spy movies and stuff like
yeah I was just wondering if that's how you got the ghost in there. You snuck up behind him and hit him in the back of the neck with a blackjack.
You don't know nothing about ghosts, man. You can't hit them. You got to trap them in the shoebox.
Oh, okay.
Just slap them in there.
I did see the movie Ghostbusters. If that counts. Well,
just like that. Just don't cross the stream.
Get a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of vacuum cleaners, I made my mom real mad one day. Did I ever tell you that story?
No.
Well, my mom asked me to get her vacuum sweeper out of the closet, right? So I said, all right. So I go over, I get her vacuum sweeper out of the closet, and as I'm pulling it out of the closet, it just freaking dawned on me, and I told my mom, I said, Mom, this vacuum sweeper sucks. And she said, boy, that's a good vacuum sweeper. I've had that for years. That thing works perfect. What do you mean it sucks? I said, Mom, it's a vacuum sweeper. It's supposed to suck. If it don't, it's broke. She was not. She was not pleased.
Boing.
Yeah.
You know, I was going to say, are we gonna set him up for open mic night now?
Yeah. But that's what I told her, and she wasn't very amused about the whole process. Hey, I was a wild child. Mama tell you that. So,
For those of you wondering about Thomas's effort with the goggles, I dropped a pic in there.
Oh, okay. I got to see
Thomas,
this.
You can see. You can see how amused we are.
I got to see this.
Everyone's got to see this.
All right.
Cody's mean face.
I got to see this.
You pre-approved these. It's okay.
It says, it's down to 7 minutes now. 3 minutes, 2 minutes.
High resolution, high quality photography, my friend.
Man.
Taken by a real photographer.
Well, at this rate, I could have saw it by the time you got here before it downloaded.
Maybe.
Just remember, Cultus, you are of distance now.
Now to be hit. Yes, yes. I understand.
Don't make me wing one of these plates at you.
Ooh.
She holds up a hard drive platter.
Hey. Is Shannon a master? Is Shannon a master at throw at you kung fu?
Yeah, man. Yeah. You all think she's sweet and innocent. She's gonna beat me up when the show's over.
You guys look good with your glasses on there.
Be a little bit like Devin Shaziz, you know. Throw a cup at no.
All right, see, I'm 6'2", right? And my ex-wife, she used to be like a master at throw at you kung fu. I'm telling you, that woman could hit a flea off of a camel's back 3 miles away. She was that accurate. And I was mouthing off one day, and I was going to try to get away from her. And so I went and dove over the bed, but my long, lanky legs were hanging out the other side, and she threw this big old glass candle, and it hit both shins at the same time. I was like, woman, you trying to kill me?
So all I know now is, am I in trouble for that photo?
No, what's wrong with it?
She nodded and stayed smiling.
It wasn't bad.
I got to get my suitcases out and start packing, guys.
Leopard print.
Man, y'all look like you're ready to rumble or something.
Yeah. Have a look at Thomas's picture. You can't be happy and wear steampunk goggles.
Okay, let me look at Thomas's picture. There he is.
Miserable little SAB he is.
Say something, Thomas, so your picture will pop up on the screen.
Oh, you don't have everybody's.
There you go. There he is.
There, huh? Yeah,
man.
Yeah, I've been asked how I managed to get that face. I told him that's 40 years of disappointment required for that.
he looks like that cranky old guy you ask a stupid question to, and he's like. Alright, are we going to talk about anything intelligent today?
I thought we were. You're saying we're all unintelligent and having silly conversation.
No, just
sounds like we've got better intelligent conversation going on here than most of the newscasts have.
So, oh, that's a definite. Boy, I can agree with that all the way. I mean, it's sickening because whenever you're sitting there watching it, you know they're lying because, you know, it's kind of ironic that if you get on YouTube, you'll see the news before they even say it because it's like they get their news from YouTube or something. You know, and they try to like counteract what the YouTubers just said. Hey, look, the government's corrupt. No, the government's not corrupt. You can always trust your government.
Yeah, they've always. I was gonna say they've always got somebody they redirect you to when it comes to being mad about something.
Yeah,
and it's obviously to benefit someone else. You know, misdirection, man. It's a magician's trick. Don't pay attention to this hand. Look at this hand waving around in the air in front of you. You know.
Yeah, don't pay attention to that man behind the curtain.
Yep.
The man behind the curtain, he's nothing. Don't worry about him. Look the other way. Nothing to see here.
Watch this hand. Ignore this hand.
And there's no behind the curtain, dude. It's a stage, and they've got people wandering around while we're sitting down in the crowd, digging through our pockets. Called the IRS, you know.
They throw
a big razzle dazzle while the IRS is grabbing our money out of our pockets, so we don't notice that we're losing all our you know hard work. It's going out the door.
Well, if it's any consolation, I'm thinking their ratings have been going downhill since the advent of YouTube.
People are finding their own news outlets. Exactly. And here we are.
Speaking of news outlets, I got called a shill the other day.
You got called a what?
A shill.
A shill, as in like a shyster.
I don't know what a shill is. All I know is somebody, because I didn't believe in global warming or something that was being talked about on there, they're like, you're a government shill. I'm like, really? That's the first time I ever heard that.
So a disinformation agent, was it?
Yeah, something like that. And some other turkey called me a troll. So I'm not only a shill, I'm a troll. I made the list.
Okay. A shill, also called a plant or a stooge, is a person who publicly helps a person or organization without disclosing that they have a close relationship with them.
Yeah, see, and I couldn't, I can't remember
so
what...
So disinformation agent will do, yeah.
I can't remember exactly what it was about. I think it had something to do with the radiation in Fukushima or something like that, you know. So,
You know, mate, we deal with this, like, generally on a daily basis, don't we, you know?
I was asking one lady, the political port, because she made the Schiller's List. There's actually two videos out there, one called The Ultimate Shill List and The Schiller's List. And so I was watching it to see if I got on the Schiller's List or the Ultimate Shill List. And I seen the political port lady on there. And I asked her about, you know, if the being on that list was like a YouTube Grammy or something like that, you know. I said, I got called a shill, but I didn't make the list. I said, maybe now that you've got on the list that you can have a little pull and,
get me on there.
Nominate me or something like that. Hey, pick me.
That's some weird choice there, dude.
Go see, you want to see another funny one, go see my fearmonger video, because somebody called me a fearmonger, and I can't for the life of me understand what the heck they would be calling me a fearmonger for.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, I did a video about it. It was funny. I got these really cool looking glasses and a big nose on and everything.
Crazy.
Go watch that video. It's a hoot. Congressman Bongwater, that's another good one, because he'll tell you like it is. Look, man, I'm going to screw you on Texas.
Yep. Yeehaw.
I'd vote for him. Come on, man. At least he's telling the truth. He's telling you what, you know, he's going to rip you off. The other guys, they say, we're going to get in there and help you out, and then what they do when they get in there, they rip you off.
Yep.
So I'd
come you know, the thing is, man, they're all doing this at gunpoint, so even the most well-meaning politician is still going to do more damage than they are good.
Yeah, they can't really say, no, I'm not going to do that for you, because then, you know, they get repercussion for it.
Right, but I mean, let's look at it as, you know, they really are trying to do what they said they're going to do. If you are trying to help poor people, and you show up with guns to do it, how is that going to ever end up actually helping anybody? And understand, this is all at the end of a gunpoint and at the threat of being thrown into a government rape room, otherwise known as a prison. You know, you don't do what we say, this is where you're going, and this is what we're going to do to you for it.
Well, and that's why I think that a lot of these politicians out there, if they're not bought off, they're bribed or they're blackmailed. So they probably go out.
Fooled.
And get every bit of dirt that they can probably get on these individuals while they're being elected and stuff like that. And if they got any kind of dirt on them, they're in. They're in like Flynn, you know. And so that way they'll know that they can keep these guys under control because they already got the dirt on them.
It's possible it's a deep-seated type of thing. It's a little more like most of society kind of goes towards the you know, in it for myself type of idea. So,
well, I'm just tired of the whole... Tell me you're going to go out there and represent me and then get up there and do just totally the opposite kind of thing, you know? I don't.
I was gonna say, oh yeah, I was gonna say, all you have to do is look at the track record. Didn't we start a war on drugs not too long ago? How's that gone? How's that gone? Who's winning that one? You know,
there's never a winner in war. It's a thing.
Exactly. No, but the thing is, though, they started this war on drugs, and yet now, you know, drugs are actually a bigger market and making more money than they ever have before. They're the ones that are saying they're going to protect us from drugs, yet they can't even keep it out of the most tightly controlled facility they have, their prison system.
Yeah, well, starting a war in general is basically just a way of profiteering. I mean, you're just trying to procure resources or trying to lock
That's it. They are trying to basically justify the existence of their governmental position.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing more. You need me because we need this war on this, and we got this big problem over here that we'll solve.
Yeah, and
you have to have government or we'll never have roads. Who would build the roads? Well, who was building the roads before there was a government?
Yeah.
I mean, animals make trails, you know, and there's no government telling them what to do.
They should get out here and build some roads, I'm telling you.
Yeah, let us not forget.
You can see it now, huh?
Let us not forget that there's a terrorist behind every bush and in your closet and under your bed, so you got to be afraid, man.
I think there's terrorists all over the world. It's not just, you know, there's terrorists in our government.
And they all work in a big white building. Doesn't matter where in the world, they're always a big white building.
The other one's got a big dome on it.
Well, anybody who starts simply talking about fear and saying, oh, be fearful of this and fearful of that, and if you don't, this will happen, and implements their force to that, it's technically a terrorist.
Right? Yeah. Yep. What is the definition of a terrorist, eh? One who instills fear.
To try to control people.
Yep. One who instills fear for control.
They issue demands and they issue threats. And, let's see.
Well, I don't know. But ever since the Australian invasion began a couple days back, I've been a little nervous.
I'm going to come and get you.
Oh, my God. I got
Number one target for Cultus.
I will be in Mexico underneath a big old 6 foot in diameter sombrero, drinking from a 7 foot straw out of a huge margarita, and I will send you a postcard from Canada and say that I'm in Canada.
I'm gonna get Bev to tie you up and put you in a cell until I get there.
She will do it too. So.
I know she will.
She will.
You have no hope, brother.
All right, I'm doomed.
I have infiltrated even your own
house. Oh my God!
A horse! My kingdom for a horse! I got to get out of Dodge.
You don't need a horse. All you need are some coconut shells, man. You can get out of there.
Yeah. Hey, I can just
some coconut shells and some third sounding words, and you can do anything.
I could just see me on a horse anyway. I'd be going through all the briar patches, all the sticker bushes and everything through the trees. That horse would be going wherever he wanted, and by the time it was all said and done, I would have been better off staying there taking the beating from Cultus. Oh, man. So where do we go to from here, man?
Where do you want to go to?
Well, I want to figure out who in the heck's bright idea it was for daylight savings time.
The farmers.
Yeah, it's the farmers.
It's the farmers, dude, because they don't want to throw out the light cycle of their cattle or some crap. I don't know.
Actually, people that were basically trying to time what the farmers are doing. Farmers don't care what the clock says. They go by when things have to get done, and that's when they do it.
They want to get up in daylight to deal with the cows.
Well, that's why they got roosters.
That's what we've always been told in Australia. I don't know why they did it in America.
If you ever talk to a farmer, they really don't care what time the clock says. They only care about, they go to bed when their work's done, and they get up when it's time to do more work.
Yeah.
It's the same people who like to make charts and statistics that made the daylight savings time, you know.
Besides that, farmers got roosters.
Watchmakers make money by selling watches and, you know.
Farmers got roosters. Right before the sun comes up, those roosters are out there. You know what I'd be doing?
Savings time was first adopted to replace artificial lighting so they could save fuel for the war effort in Germany during World War One.
You know what? You know what I would be doing if the rooster woke me up?
There you go. It had something to do
had
with
nothing
war.
To do with as, cows.
As usual, had something to do with war. Just like why they made those steely pennies so they could make bullets out of the copper.
The original concept was Benjamin Franklin, but it wasn't implemented until 1916.
You know what I would be doing if the rooster woke me up that early in the morning? I'd be having chicken for breakfast.
Yeah, chicken for
dinner. There's your fried chicken.
William Willett in 1905, he kind of came up with that idea, too. There you go.
Well, we solved the issue then. My gosh. I tell you what, though, it's a killer when you get up and it's like you're either hour early one part of the year or hour late the other part of the year. It's frustrating, man.
Yep. It's a little mini jet lag for you.
Yeah, I don't get jet lag. I spent 2 months killing myself in my previous country.
Clopas did really well with the whole...
There was no jet lag, was there, honey?
No, not at all.
Are you having Vegemite withdrawals? No, I brought a jar.
Sick.
He just postponed it, that's all.
What's it taste like, Shannon? What's Vegemite taste like?
Don't skip. I've always wanted to try it.
All right.
Definitely,
well,
I suggest you do try it because, you know, everybody's palate's different. But it came out as soon as it went in, so I was like, you can have it here.
So somebody said...
I put my toast back with bite marks and all and ate my Vegemite because I didn't want to waste it.
Somebody said that it was like really salty or something.
Yes.
So
it tastes like pure vitamins with salt.
Do you know what a salt lick is?
Yes, I do.
So it's like tastes like one
not
of them?
Not quite. Nah, not quite. But you know how babies, you have to give them, like, sometimes babies, you have to give them, like, those special vitamin drops?
Oh, the vitamin K drops?
Yeah, that's what it smells like.
Stop and I'm picking on my staple food.
I'm assuming that's what it tastes like.
You want an Australian invasion, you all just keep going on the Vegemite, right? I'll be getting a big boat, and I'll just float them all over here. I'll have a jar of Vegemite and a teaspoon.
I can just see it now. Drop bears with jars of Vegemite.
Eat this or we'll eat your brains.
Oh, man. I think I lost a few IQ points this morning.
How rude.
Can I get them back?
No way, I'm keeping them.
Oh, man.
Whoever said that was the wrong term, you should have said, that's inappropriate. Anyone actually thought about that, you know?
What?
Someone says, that's inappropriate. What you're really saying is, what I said is making you uncomfortable, and you don't want to admit that. You don't want to admit that maybe, you know, you don't want to actually think about whatever it is that I just said.
What did you just say?
What do you want to say?
It doesn't matter.
Whatever. I think that's pretty inappropriate, dude.
Yeah, see, there you go. Thank you for moving my point.
Circle on that one.
I think my eye's crooked.
It was like that before the show, she says.
Oh, man. Wait till we all get together for a bonfire, man. It's going to be a
hoot. Yeah. You better get that that guitar of yours tuned up. And,
I will. Thomas,
you better learn plenty of Kenny Rogers songs.
Thomas, you and Diadon are in the States, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm on the West Coast.
Well, what you guys doing in 2 weeks, man?
Probably working.
Oh.
Yeah.
Man.
Surviving.
Not everyone's as lucky as us, Shazis.
All right, well, we'll have to figure out a way to Skype it so you guys can, like, be here without being there.
Yeah, well, we need a couple of laptops set out on deck chairs around the bonfire with webcams.
Yeah.
And we can just have their heads up there and a camera so they can look across the bonfire. And
hey, Dublin showed up. Can you get him in there?
Oh, I can't do. your little secretary, bitch.
Huh? He's over there in Spain.
Whee!
All right, so, like, do we need a music break?
Music
or something?
Break, yeah.
All right, well, let me see if I can find a tune. I'm going to go back to a tune.
You need to find some Aussie tunes to make me feel at home. Mm-hmm.
Do we have any Aussie?
I come from the land down under.
Find
where the
that,
women go and then Junda.
Find that song, send it to me, and I will play that one.
Shannon has it, I'm sure.
In the meantime, I...
Why don't you have that?
Why don't you just do, you go look for Midnight Oil. I'm sure you'll find plenty of stuff.
Dude,
like.
Come on. Why are you being commercial on me, huh?
Yeah, like, I got a question. Do Australians really drink Foster's beer?
No! We make that for export, because other silly suckers in every other country.
Oh, I see. That's part of the invasion plan. Get us all liquored up on trashy beer and then come over and feed us Vegemite until we're green.
Foster's, that's the Australian exports.
Now that is
that's
that...
Ain't no one got time for that.
Yeah, that is a conspiracy right there, man. All right.
Totally.
Thomas, I'm playing your song again in honor of that mean-looking mug you got going on with that top hat and them steampunk glasses.
I guess I need to send you some more songs, man.
All right. Well, I'm playing it again because Shannon likes gears and stuff.
Yes, I do.
I won't say it again.
All right.
No, you won't.
All right, here we go. Stay tuned, everybody. We're starting to get our brains working. Peace and love.
As I read the Gazette to catch up on the news, some classified adverts I chanced to peruse when I saw a category called steampunk. I turned to it eagerly but left in a funk, for I quite enjoyed the steampunk aesthetic, but what I beheld there was rather pathetic. These intrepid online auctioneers had just taken modern objects and stuck on some gears.
It's simply not cricket, it shouldn't be done,
but it's clear how their thoughts had run.
Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper-painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
But it got even worse than that, I'm afraid, and as I went on, I became more dismayed, for they often didn't modify the things they wanted me to buy.
Heavens to Betsy, I'll end up unregretting.
Steampunk is more than a mere mode of dress or decoration, so it brings me some distress to see a metal cicada described with that name. Or a teacup, a mood ring, a silver gilt frame. Gluing on gears at least takes effort. This is sloth of the worst.
Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper-painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
Steampunk refers to a type of science fiction about alternate past, not future prediction. Often set in Victorian Britain, but the history of technology has been rewritten. So put a bit of thought into your designs. Use leather and brass, 19th century lines. Retrofuturistic is a good explanation. Blend antique reality with imagination. But calling things steampunk to try to sound cool makes you look like a bloody fool.
Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper-painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
Gauges and rivets, copper tubing and glass lend a steampunk creation a real touch of class. Gears are appropriate to introduce if they look like they have a legitimate use. Although Nixie tubes are undeniably splendid, they date from long after the age of steam ended. Pity really, I just love Nixie tubes. Anyway, I hope you've comprehended. So use the word steampunk correctly, old chap, and don't use it to refer to crap.
Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper-painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
So you think you're bad with your rap? Well, I'll tell ya, pilgrim, I started the crap. When you were in diapers and wetting the sheets, I was at the Ponderosa rapping to the beat. Da-ha, da-ha, da-ha-ha. Sure, I rustled some cattle and tended the sheep, but my main concern was rapping to the beat. I don't bother nobody, I'm a real nice guy, kinda laid back like a dead fly. Da ha, da ha, da ha, da ha, da ha, da ha. I'm talking here and now. Later for the cattle and rustling the cow. If I had a chance to do a repeat, you can bet your sweet dippy I'd be rapping to the beat. Da ha, da ha, da ha. Que pasa, amigos? Not a pasa, I see. 200 punks, well what you gonna do? I got 2 6 shooters that'll see me through. That's 12 dead and 188 pallbearers. Da ha, da ha, da ha, 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 ha. What I do on your grave won't pass for flowers either. Now Curtis Blow, Run DMC, you haven't heard a rap till you heard it from me. I'm the baddest rapper in history, and there'll be no more after me. Da ha, da ha, da ha. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, Santa Barbara that is, swimming pools and movie stars. Well, the first thing you know, Ron's the president. The kinfolk said, Ron, move away from there. Said in the White House is where you ought to be. So he loaded up the Lincoln and he moved to D.C. Washington that is. Politicians taking a sip, foreign dignitaries taking a trip, high tax and plenty Cadillacs. Da ha, da ha, da ha, da ha, da ha, da ha. Now you see me in my movies doing my thing, but deep in my heart I've wanted to sing. Way down up on the Swanee River, far, far away. Titwillow, titwillow, titwillow. Well, I don't think that's your style, but I'll tell ya, pilgrim, I'm versatile. Aretha Franklin, Aretha Franklin, Aretha Franklin, let me rock ya, let me rock ya, Aretha Franklin, let me rock ya, Aretha Franklin, that's all I wanna do, Aretha Franklin. Da ha, da ha, da ha, da ha, da ha, da ha. I'm feeling the groove now, pilgrim. Party over here, party over there. There's nothing to it the way we do it. Whoop, whoop. East Coast, West Coast, Texas. Every time I put on pants, I tell ya, pilgrim, I wanna dance. I put a quarter in the juke, then I commenced to doing the duke. Da ha, da ha, da ha, da ha, da ha, da ha. It's pretty easy, as you can see, just move your arms kinda freely. Do a pause and take a step, and just be sure the beat is kept. Da ha, da ha, da ha. I was at the Ponderosa rapping to the beat, trying to cool off from the desert heat. I discovered something really neat. The Duke has moves with his feet. Da ha, da ha, da ha. I want plenty of ladies with my charms, but they like me the most for the moves of my arms. Whoa, whoa. I'm gonna rap in the east, gonna rap in the west. I'll show ya, pilgrim, who's the best. Nothing to it the way we do it. Skibble a bebop, we bop, Scooby-Doo. Guess what, America, we love you. Da ha, da ha, da ha, da ha.
a fighter come in on a hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under? Where women go and men wonder. Can't you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover. I'm bred from a man in Brussels. He was 6'4" and full of muscle. I said, do you speak my language? He just smiled and gave me a Vegemite sandwich. He said, I've come from a land down under. Read us low and mention her. Can you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover.
It's old King Shaziz the Terrible, and the Knights out here around the round table. We've got Cultus in here, and we've got, who else do we got in here? Doggone it.
Thomas, Dyden, Mitko, and Dame Shannon, who's just stepped out for a wee moment.
Oh, okay, well.
A wee moment, but just a...
For those folks out there listening in, if you haven't heard yet, the Australian invasion has begun. And Americans, run for your life. Oh man, is everybody awake yet?
We're all here.
It's that
count?
Daylight yeah, savings time, man. Didn't we have Dublin in there somewhere?
He dropped.
Oh, he has a bad connection.
Man, we got to get him a better connection. He's going through Honest Abe's used ISP service. How you doing, Mitko? Yeah, he done went to sleep too. Did he drop?
Going songs.
Man. Mitko, going once, going twice. Hello.
That's your answer.
Yeah, okay, well, there's radio silence for you. That's a killer on radio, you know, when you got that dead air. Dead air. Everybody, this is dead air. It's all due to the Australian invasion. He's taking down power lines and phone lines and stuff. Run! Run for your life! The sky is falling!
Now, right. I don't know if you should be saying anything like that. There are some people that have no sense of humor and might actually take you seriously there.
They really think the sky is falling?
That somebody's basically doing something naughty they shouldn't be doing, you know?
Oh, well, yeah.
The Australian invasion.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's kind of their job, is to go around and look for trouble anyway, though, so... You know.
Yeah, but see, Cultus is a hoot, man. He ain't going to hurt nobody. That dude's cool as you know what, you know? They want
unless you're faking an energy device.
Yeah. Yeah, then he'll get you.
Just you.
Yeah. Anyway, doggone it. If the NSA jumps on Cultus's back, I'm jumping on the NSA's back.
Yeah.
If somebody will jump on my back, I'll probably be the FBI.
I'll be the beginning of a revolution. I'll be the martyr.
That's a martyr.
I'll never be the martyr.
Yeah, come to America just to be the martyr. Oh, man, what a world we live in. So we've had a couple of intelligent conversations. We talked about the potholes that my tax dollars put in the streets of America that our Australian friend got to drive through, and according to what I understand from the inside
drive
scoop,
down into
that's more like it.
Picking on me.
The inside scoop that I got from an unnamed source, because I wouldn't want to say Shannon said it or anything like that, but the chuckle was apparently, according to the inside scoop, on the opposite side of the line there and stuff.
No. It was all point of reference. She's used to being on the other side of the vehicle driving, so, you know, it just seemed close to what it really was.
See, I never even thought about that from that angle, because you know, she was a passenger that go.
Yeah, it was like right on the white line, like.
Yeah, okay, that's good.
Right on the white line.
Well, you know, now over here in America, they got those little notches things in the side of the line, let you know that you're going.
Yeah,
over
doesn't it? Yeah, on the side of the radio, they say,
yeah.
I didn't hear those. I just heard the pothole.
Sometimes
it's kind of hard to tell the difference between those and the potholes.
Yes.
You know?
Sometimes if you want a good massage and have to replace your
just fall asleep while you're driving down the road, so you end up on the side hitting those little noises.
Yeah, there you go.
Vibrating all through the car.
And it's good for sales of shocks and struts and stuff.
Yeah.
You know? And tires. Let's not forget tires.
You're talking to people who don't have money, man. What shocks?
Oh, yeah.
Everything's squeezed down to the frame, just banging against the ground.
There's an old song called There Ain't Nothing Wrong With The Radio, and that's a good song, because that's the kind of theory that I go by. If you got the radio up loud enough, you don't know that things are squeaking and clanking, and so you don't have to replace them.
I've been there, done that before.
Is that annoying squeak in the shock in the back, every time you hit a bump, and you don't hear it because the doggone radio's up?
Why'd that car wreck behind me? Whose bumper just fell off?
I think that was yours. Hey, if you start off from your house and go to the grocery store, and by the time you get back, all you have left is a bucket seat, then you need a new car.
Awesome new roads, is this? Awesome new roads.
Yeah, definitely new roads. But you ain't going to get no new roads out, because when you put your tax dollar in the pocket of, let's say, Congressman Bongwater, because he won't sue me. I know him personally. Yeah.
Now, this is America. You never know.
Yeah, well, Congressman Bongwater might sue me. He did say he likes money, so you want to fatten that wallet. But anyway, if you put your money in his wallet, it's going to his lobster dinner out at the lobster shack or something like that. And he wears a shirt underneath his tuxedo that says, I got crabs from Joe's Crab Shack.
I've been there.
Have you really?
I've been to Joe's Crab Shack. Seafood.
Oh, wow. I can't even. No, you should, he's in reaching distance. You should reach over and stump him.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit further than reach distance. I'm like timely distance, so American I can get style. Up and run.
He's saying he's smarter than that.
I'm going to build my own platter disperser, so I can just shoot the platters out. I've got about, I don't know how many, like 100 or so sitting here on my desk.
I'm hiding behind the pillar in her room right now.
I'm just going
to cut those. You can turn them into little Chinese throwing stars.
Yeah, like ninja stars, man. Ninja stars. Give him a haircut with ninja stars.
I'll have it facing his way and then have like a red button on my keyboard so I can press it as needed.
Shaziz, I take everything back. I know just how you feel now, bro.
Thanks, brother. Hey, you know what? I want one of those old... You remember the old jack-in-the-box that you sit there and you turn the little deal and it goes...
I have one.
Oh, really? I want to get one of those and put a little mini boxing glove on the end of it. Wouldn't that be cool? Somebody likes having... Wop! Ah!
Stand to spring out a little bit.
I have one that has a very scary voice, a little girl pops out of it. And she's like... And then she's like, "Did I scare you?"
Oh, that reminds me of that doggone movie, Chainsaw Massacre. Don't ever watch that. That's a disgusting movie.
Horrible.
Yeah, well, there's the scene that scared me the most out of the whole movie. It wasn't the guy chasing everybody around with the chainsaw that bothered me nearly as bad as that one scene where that little girl's sitting in that room with all the bones and everything. And then she turns around with this little creepy looking doll. She says, "Yakety yak, don't talk back." And I about had a stroke, man. I was all up out of that theater.
Or Pet Cemetery, where the little boy cuts the ankle and stuff. That's scary.
Oh, God.
Children are the scariest thing, right?
They sure are.
Why do people like movies like that, man? I just don't get it.
I do.
When you say don't watch this movie, 5 minutes after that, I'm going to watch it.
He's going to go watch it now. All right. But Mikko, whenever you watch that movie, be prepared when that little girl turns around with that creepy-looking doll. If you have a stroke, it ain't my fault. I gave you the disclaimer. Man, I was all up out of that theater. I said, I've had enough of this. See y'all later.
Yeah, I have had some experience with creepy movies.
I like creepy movies.
Well,
fear factors. You're aware of it. It's like a roller coaster ride. People like roller coasters.
Did you guys know that when they made the movie The Exorcist, they put a subliminal picture in that movie to scare the crud out of you whenever that girl like her head turned all the way around in a circle
really?
And stuff. Yeah. There's one frame in there that has a picture of a demon, and so when that lady spins her head around like that, that picture flashes through that scene real quick, and it like scares the living crap out of people, because subconsciously, you didn't notice you saw it, but you saw it, you know, because subconsciously your mind picks it up, and you know, a lot of people got the living crap scared out of them, including me, man. I wouldn't even go down to my basement for years after that, man.
Kids are scary. Kids and clowns, those are the two scariest things, bro.
Yeah. Do you remember the movie Killer Clowns from Outer Space?
Yeah.
Have you ever watched it now? And it's like, why was I afraid of that?
Well, how about the science fiction, the old really super stupid / corny, doggone The Blob, or Attack of the Killer Tomatoes?
Yeah. Birds.
I would say, dude, people have legitimate reason to be afraid of clowns. I mean, who wears that much weight and makeup? What are they trying to hide?
Yeah. I never thought of it like that.
The creepy clowns aren't, you know, like, you expect them to be creepy, but it's those really, it's like Ronald McDonald. Like, they're scary, you know? It's too clean.
So you're saying things like It.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, from what I understand, Ronald McDonald was a jerk, man. You know, I heard story. Well, there's probably lots of them, but I've heard lots.
I was going to say he was paid to dress up and you know, deal with little kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to barf on you and hard on you and, you know, pull at you and poke at you. And, you know, kids are mean. I mean, you know, anybody who has to deal with them on a daily basis, eventually they're going to get turned into jerks, you know?
Kind of like those doggone episodes where the little kid goes up to tug on Santa Claus's beard. Could you imagine that?
I was going to say, I'm sure everybody that's ever had to wear one of those Ronald outfits for an extended period of time is now an old man sitting on the porch with a shotgun saying, "Get off my lawn!
Get off my lawn!"
So, would you say that media has a tendency to steer society in odd directions?
Sure. Well, I mean, it's just an outlet of us, right? I mean, basically, it's just the outlet of all of our different thoughts.
Well, if life imitates arts, and what you're saying is that it's about our thoughts, we're in trouble, man. We're all warped.
Yeah. Well, imagination's a powerful thing. It just depends on how you use it.
See, for anybody who has got from that you know their kids are so awful and everything, you have to realize all those awful kids out there are a perfect, unvarnished mirror of their parents.
Yeah, it's
you're getting to see the real parent that hides behind the societal niceties.
I have to agree with you, because I remember back when and it's probably happened to you guys too. Has your mom ever told you, "You wait till you have kids; they're going to be 10 times worse than you"?
Yeah.
That's true.
We all went that one the hard way.
Yeah.
I have to say, my daughter was better than what I was. My son, yeah, not so much.
He's a good boy.
He is a good boy, but he's not. You know, he's definitely the one that was the 10 times. Different. But he's awesome. They're both awesome.
Yeah. Kids are cool, man.
Innocence.
Yeah, totally.
And that's one of the reasons why we should probably be like trying to keep on doing what it is we're doing, man. We gotta set a good example for the kids. I mean, if we're gonna leave some sort of impression on this world, shouldn't it be a positive one as opposed to what... You know, I saw this video the other day, and I think I even commented on it, about how these doggone schools these days are more like prison indoctrination centers than they are schools, you know? They don't teach these kids...
The same people.
Yeah, they don't...
Same corporations.
They don't teach these kids real science or real history or anything. It's like an agenda-filled curriculum. And if you look at the school... You know, parents got to go up there and buzz in to get in, and then you got all these doggone cameras that follow the kids through the entire school. Could you imagine being a kid in modern day school?
Metal detectors.
Yeah. It's nuts.
They've been lying to the kids though in school and indoctrinating them for a lot longer than just the last few years.
Well, I'm sure.
Ever since
indoctrination
kind of came about.
I'm sure indoctrination was probably going by when I was in grade school too, to some extent, but not near what it is now. Nowadays, the things are just so much different. They even got these deal where they can lock the parent out of the house and or out of the school and not let them pick up their kids if they think something's going on. You know.
Yeah.
Maybe the parents had a bad day in a bad mood and they see the grumpy looking face on. Oh, I ain't letting them in.
Mm-hmm. You know how I deal with those cameras?
Give them the international distress signal?
Half of that. You. No, those cameras in the school.
What do you do?
You have a half of what? What?
What do you do with them?
You have a half of what UV laser. Bring it to school.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I like
drop
that.
Big guy.
All right, let's get all our kids some lasers.
Yeah, that's a great idea. You won't end up with anybody blinded by that. No.
That's like the slingshot.
Right, we're gonna start arming the goldfish with the laser strap
to their freaking heads, man.
Yeah. That's like back in the old days, whenever this glass company wanted to put a promotional item out there. Well, this one particular glass company was giving out slingshots to the kids that had the name of the glass company on there.
Oh my God!
Genius.
It is.
What a marketing ploy.
Exactly.
That is creating work, mate. That is creating jobs.
Well, I'm wondering how much work they made for a lawyer.
Probably a lot. And the promotion didn't go very long.
At the end of the day, they're not aiming them. They didn't come with instructions to aim the windows, so it's hardly their fault.
That doesn't matter when it comes to these court sessions.
It says such and such glass company on there, right there on the slingshot, and gave them out to promotionals for the kids.
Love it.
Genius. There you go.
Oh, man, that's just hilarious. You know, that's the way they make money, though, you know. There's all kinds of different gimmicks like that. What's the funniest gimmick that you can think of? Anybody?
Conversation.
Huh?
What were you guys talking about? I forgot the conversation.
We're talking about engineered obsolescence.
Mitko, do you know what a slingshot is?
Yeah, I have one.
Yeah.
Of course he does.
Does it?
It's made by a glass company.
Does it have the name of a glass company on it?
Don't have an idea. What?
Well, because that's what they were giving out to kids for promotional, to, you know, sell business, you know. So the kid takes the rock, he puts it in the slingshot, busts out a window, and you make money.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. What a world.
The Food and Drug Administration. There you go.
Problem solution.
Yeah, there you go.
They just combined them together. That way they could continue to sell them.
Well, yeah, one drug, if you read the side effects on there, they could sell like 6 or 7 or 8, maybe possibly 10 more drugs afterwards because it says, you know, could cause this or that, you know, not excluding death. And so, you know, the doggone mortuary would be stacked up, and so, heck, everybody's making money.
At the same time, they regulate all food.
Yeah.
They're not connected.
Make it illegal so you can't grow your own garden, so you have to go to the store and buy something that's going to cause you to grow a third eye or something.
Are you have to pay for things to be organic instead of having to pay for them not to be? Kind of thing, like.
Yeah, never mind the plus tax portion of the whole deal.
Yeah.
And there's another thing. I wonder if the major people of all these different corporations, I wonder if they eat their own products.
Probably not. In most cases, probably not.
I bet they go out and buy organic. they're maids.
They have money too.
Yeah. So that's the thing, man. See? If you end up growing a third eye because you ate something that Monsanto created, you know, hey, what the heck?
That's not likely to happen. Everybody talks about these funny mutations, but the most common mutation from anything that's not good for you is cancer.
Yeah.
That's it, man.
Cancer.
Yep.
Or have some type of a problem with, like, your endocrine system or... have some thyroid malfunction, crap like that. Just out of balance.
Yep. I was going to say, instead of growing a third eye, you'll get cancer in your eyes and lose them, you know?
Well, they got something for everything nowadays, you know, like, you know, they got Rogaine so you can grow hair, you know? And if I ever go completely bald, which my hairline is kind of receding a bit, I'm getting me a rug. And when I get me a rug, it's going to be like one of those 60s or 70s styles afros that sits out there, you know, like...
Looks like a pop filter. That looks slick.
Look like a bag of cotton candy on your head, you know. And then
you see, just is walking out in the wind.
Yeah. Then I'm gonna get me some of those old airplane goggles to wear with my new rug, you know.
What it look like?
I'm just saying. And I want. Have you ever seen the movie I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker?
Yep.
Yeah.
You know them shoes that they've got on there, the fishbowl shoes?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, man.
All right, now picture old Shazia's with a big, huge afro, probably about the size of, larger than a basketball. What's larger than a basketball? One of them medicine balls. You know? All right? So I got this huge afro on my head. I've got my airplane goggles from World War I. And then I've got these high platform fishbowl shoes, and I'm wearing like these really super flared out bell bottom pants with a multicolored plaid shirt.
I don't see the old fish for you. I see those glass shoes having like a plasma effect.
Ooh, yeah, that'd be cool.
Mini testicles on the toes.
That'd be cool. Yeah, I could go that route.
Well, it'd be easier to feed the plasma than the goldfish, right?
Just a little. Can't change the batteries on the goldfish.
So you see what daylight savings time does to you? It makes you crazy.
Just throws the whole world out of whack.
Throws it all out of whack. Now we got me dressed up like the guy from I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker. And, you know, we're under
a yoga ball-sized afro and mini testicles on your shoes.
Yeah, that would be cool, man. You know,
think about the cane now.
Ooh, and just think of all that static charge build up, and my wife comes by, and I say, "Kiss me, baby," and I shoot a lightning bolt across to her lip. What do you think?
You know what's going to happen from that,
Shazis. Yeah, that's not going to be.
No one can save you from the Terminator.
I'm going to lose my rug first off, because it's going to rip it off. Oh, man. But you know what? Maybe I just grow the back of my hair really super long that way I can comb it over the front. Yeah. You know?
Super comb over.
You can grow your eyebrows out and just comb them back.
That would be kind of weird. That'd be kind of weird there. I don't know if I'd go that route. What if you use that Rogaine and you get a really big, thick, solid unibrow all the way across the front? Wouldn't that be bad?
Yeah, totally.
Dang. They'd be like, "Hey, dude, what's that on your face? Is that like a raccoon or a squirrel or something?"
That's my bear.
It's a drop bear. See? I told you. He's got a plan, man. You got to watch them Australians. I've heard stories, man.
What, the drop bear?
Where's the genetics lab?
That's like America's snipe, right?
Oh, yeah. Did you ever hear my snipe hunting story? Dude, this is a true story. I was a kid, and my stepdad, he talked us all into going snipe hunting. He told us all about how to catch snipes and everything. We all had our little gunny sack bag and our stick, you know, and so he sends us out there, and we're out there beating the brush, and we're here, snipe, snipe, here, snipe, snipe. And he was sitting over there, and they're all laughing and everything, having a good old time, while all of us kids, there's probably about 15, 20 of us kids out there in the woods just going, here, snipe, snipe, and they're having a real hoot, right? Well, finally, as I'm going along, I felt something up inside my bag, so I closed it up, and I got one, you know, and I go rushing up to him, "Look, Dad, I got a snipe, and he said, no, you don't have a snipe, and I said, "Yes, I got a snipe, and he's like, "Boy, throw that sucker down." It was a black snake run up inside my bag when I was out there beating the brush, and he's just completely petrified of snakes, man. He's like, "You ain't got no snipe. Throw that thing down."
I was going to say, that kind of sounds like my time coming home with a pocket full of baby copperheads.
Oh, my God.
I'm so cute.
Oh, wow.
You can't pet them and feed them and hug them and spin them. Oh, yeah, it cleared the house quick.
Well, speaking of creepy crawlies, I went one day, I was out in the field, and it was like around Mother's Day or something like that, and I started picking up a bunch of wildflowers, and I brought them home to Ma. And she got a hold of them, and as she was holding on to these doggone wildflowers, the ants started pouring off on her hand. It was like just loaded with ants. She shook them off in the sink and flushed the ants down and put them in the vases and says, "Thanks, son." Oh, man. Those were the days, I'll tell you what. And I had one other episode happen with ants as well. It was a family that lived right straight across the street from me. And they were like real poor. They weren't poor because the dad didn't work. The dad was kind of like in the alcohol a lot. He was an alcoholic, you know, and so he didn't spend no money for him on Christmas or nothing like that. And I think I was probably about 14 or 15 years old, and I went way out in the woods with my bow saw, and I went down there and I picked out this really cool looking Christmas tree. So I sawed that thing down. I drug it all the way, probably about a mile to the back to the house in the snow and all that. And I brought it up to them and said, hey, I got you a Christmas tree, you know. And they were all excited, and they put that thing on the stand and started decorating and everything. But, you know, it was warm inside the house. And the moment that thing started warming up, the freaking ants come pouring up out that sucker, man. So the next thing you know, the doggone tree's sitting out in the front yard. They're like, thanks a lot, man.
It's the thought of being, very awkward.
Yeah, that's kind of, you know, good. How they say the road to disaster was paved by good intentions. Hey, I didn't say I was the luckiest character on the planet.
Well, yeah.
Man, that radio silence is killing me.
Radio silence.
Don't anybody got a story of when they was a kid and tried to do something good and it went awry?
I try to forget my childhood.
That's the one.
All right.
And I done brought up bad memories. All right, everybody go for a cry session and we'll be back. Do we need a song, Blake?
I think it's on the hour. Might be the time.
All right. Well, let me see if I can find the right song. Do we need like a rowdy song, or do we need a...
Check us out.
Let me just say before I put a song back on.
Alright.
Thanks, Mom. I'm going to enjoy snipe hunting. Maybe we can eat some pizza off the pizza trees on the way through.
Yeah, pizza trees. Those are cool, man. Hey, Shannon, do you guys got any what are those nasty old fruits? Persimmon trees. Do you have any persimmon trees?
Yes, and I'm telling you, they're around here, but you know what? I'll let Mom pick that one out for Cultus to try.
Yeah, give him a persimmon, man.
What's going on? What's going on? Someone be friendly.
Wake
me up.
Tell him how...
Whoever words me, I'll get to be.
You got a paranoid now.
Tell him how wonderful they are.
They're delicious. They taste just like your Vegemite.
Yeah, yeah. Oh boy, she gave it away. Alright, hey, you guys like Deep Purple?
Yeah.
Alright, here we go. Let's throw this one down there. Peace and love, everybody. Stay tuned.
Can you remember? fella, check it one time, boy.
Yo, VIP, let's kick it.
Collaborate and listen.
I sit back with my brand new invention.
Something grabs a hold of me tightly. Flow like a harpoon daily and nightly.
Will it ever stop?
Yo, I don't know. Turn off the lights and I'll glow. To the extreme, I rock a mic like a vandal. Light up a stage and wax a chump like a candle.
Dance.
Look a speaker that booms. I'm killing your brain like a poisonous mushroom.
Deadly.
When I play a dope melody, anything less than the best is a felony. Love it or leave it, you better gain weight. You better hit bulls out of kid don't play. If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while my DJ revolves it.
No faking.
Cooking MCs like a pound of bacon. Burning them, getting quick and nimble. I go crazy when I hear a cymbal and a hi-hat with a souped up tempo. I'm on a roll, it's time to go solo.
Rolling,
hit my 5.0. Put my rag top down so my hair can blow. The girl is on standby, waiting just to say hi.
Did you stop?
No, I just drove, I kept on pursuing to the next stop. I bust a left and I'm heading to the next block. The block was dead, yo, so I continue to A1A. Girls were hot, wearing less than bikinis. Rock men lovers, driving Lamborghinis.
Jealous,
cause I'm out getting mine. Shade with the gauge and vanilla with the nine.
Ready
for the chumps on the wall. The chumps acting ill because they're full of eight ball. Gunshots ranged out like a bell. I grabbed my nine, all I heard was shells.
Falling
on the concrete real fast. Jumped in my car, slammed on the gas. Bumper to bumper, the avenue's packed. I'm trying to get away before the jack is jacked.
Police on the scene,
you know what I mean? They passed me up, could run it all, the dope fiends. If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook when my DJ revolves it. Rhymes you can vision and feel. Conducted in form, this is a hell of a concept. We make it hype, and you want us to print this. Shape plays on a fade, slice like a ninja, cut like a razor blade so fast. Other DJs say, damn, a rhyme was a drug, I'd sell it by the gram. Keep my composure when it's time to get loose. Magnetized by the mic while I kick my juice. If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while DJ revolves it. Get out of here. Word to your mother.
Outside of all the whole daylight savings time debacle, it sure is good, though, to kind of let your hair down and just kind of forget about the seriousness of the world and have a little bit of fun here on the Knights of the Round Table. And so with that said, I just come across the thought that I can't wait till my buddy Cultus gets over here in this neighborhood, because I'm going to find that song Lowrider, and I got to put that in the I still think I still have a tape deck.
It's an 8-track, isn't it?
No, it's cassette. It's cassette. I ain't that old, man. What's wrong with you? But anyway, you guys got to try this. If you got an MP3 player and you can get that song called Lowrider, and whenever you sit inside the car, slump down in the seat as far as you can and kind of hang your arm over the deal to where the only thing that's hanging out is like your arm, and you just see barely the top of your head, and play that song while you're driving down the road. It's a blast, man. It's a hoot. Hey, Lowrider. I also do this other one that I call the 6-footer, you know, or 7-footer or whatever. And I like to get up as high as I can in the seat or where my head is like up on the roof, and I'm like hanging my arm down. It looks like I'm like 7 or 8 feet tall inside the car.
I don't even really need to try to do that. I just sit in the car.
Really? How tall are you, Cultus?
Hey, just under 6 foot, bro.
Oh, well, we're
about, got a tall body.
We're about the same height.
I sit up, bro.
We can pull it off then. You know, the whole 7-footer.
Both of us riding around, no one's going to give us a hard time.
Oh, yeah, you and I is going to go for a joyride. We're going to have a hoot, man. I'm telling
I'm
you.
I'm driving.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have a stroke. I'm going to have not only the seatbelt on, but I'm going to have to install some those four-point harnesses like they got in NASCAR.
In NASCAR, yeah, of course.
And I got a crash helmet,
first,
too.
just put on a nice, soft song.
Yeah, I can see it now, right, man. What about Beethoven's Fifth Symphony or something like that?
Yeah, we'll drive down. We'll drive up and down the main street playing that, man. I'll do that.
As loud as we possibly can?
Yep, yep. And we'll headbang to it.
We'll probably get pulled over and breathalyzered.
That's right. I'll be like, sorry, man. I'm from Australia. Hey, that's not a knife. Yeah. I haven't got it with me. Sorry.
This is how we roll in Australia. So what do you guys say we shift gears and go on into some mad science for the last portion of this show?
Alrighty, sounds like a plan.
You know, as I've been doing my experiments with Tesla technology and stuff like that, I've noticed a lot of really cool things about different types of metals. And one of the things we were talking about off of break was aluminum. Aluminum is like a really awesome antenna as far as radiant energy and stuff. And I've also noticed that the cheapo stainless steel, kind of like you get from China, you know, when China makes stainless steel, it's not like 440 stainless steel. They just kind of throw whatever they can in the pot and call it stainless steel. I mean, it looks shiny. And,
but, and it rusts.
Yeah.
For a little while.
But that stainless steel is an awesome antenna. So while they may have intended on screwing us over on the metal, they actually benefited us because they gave us this super metal that can be a really awesome antenna. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I think it's the zinc and I believe it's the zinc and it kind of helps for those purposes.
Well, that video I did called Shaziz Coil, that is made out of that cheap stainless steel, and it is not plugged into anything but the ground.
I think you find it's a combination of what they make it with, and cheap stainless steel contains carbon.
Carbon, there we go.
There's a key.
There you go. Cool.
Earlier, I was just looking into aluminum silver alloys. Because I mean, you were talking about the ability for it to be used as an antenna, and silver is like the only natural it's a very low quality one, but the only natural superconductor we've got.
Or gold,
No. See, that's a misconception. Gold is only about a third as conductive as copper, but silver is actually like if on their scale rating they've got for copper, copper's like a 99, silver is a 107.
Well. Cultus
doesn't have a loose electron.
Cultus, yeah. if you build a Tesla coil out of gold wire, I'm going to come into your lab and I'm going to say, look, there's Elvis. And whenever you're looking, come back here.
Yeah, that's a problem. Well, speaking of carbon, I mean, you can go with the graphene technology to make nanotube wiring, atomic layer. That'd be insanely.
I believe it's.
The problem with that is that it requires ultra cold temperatures with just pure carbon, so it needs to be doped with something when you're making that that chicken wire, because that's what it is. Basically, it's little carbon atoms arranged in a chicken wire formation and then wrapped up into a tube.
Right.
So, yeah. But if you mix other things with it, like a copper atom here or a silver atom there, it totally changes the aspect of the carbon. And
yeah, it makes it more conductive.
Right, and they're already doing a little bit of that work to try to come up with super cold superconductors, like what they're calling room temperature superconductors.
Right.
So, which, you know, they're pushing a range of like 100 degrees below zero, calling that room temperature. Because it has to be so much colder normally, you know, so.
If I'm not mistaken, Lid Motor on YouTube is doing these little pill bottle static motors.
Yeah.
And he's using carbon brushes on there as opposed to, copper or anything like that. And those carbon brushes seem to work out pretty good for that particular design that he's got going on.
Yeah, I used carbon brushes for my pulse motor. I just took some carbon fiber tube and just broke it up and made little brushes myself. And it worked out really well on this.
I was going to say, the graphite is used for those brushes because it's a self-lubricating substance, and it's conductive at the same time. So,
yeah.
Well, I'd like to get one of those little pill motors put together, pill bottle motors, because they're pretty impressive, and I want to do some static electricity motors. I want to do some experiments with them around these coils to see, you know, if I can get these things to turn.
Yeah, that's Cultus and I have been doing that, talking about that stuff. That's kind of like interesting.
Direction we go. Yep.
Yeah, and I think even if you inverted like the rotor and blade design, you have like the rotor on the outside in a way, you know, and you can actually funnel through, air, water. You could do a multitude of different energies funneling through it, so you can power it in different ways depending on your situation. You know, I think that'd be a cool avenue to go down.
Yeah, there's a lot of potential. I still believe, and I know people's going to argue with me till they're blue in the face, that I still believe that you can get work out of just voltage alone. I don't.
You can't.
Yeah.
I don't.
You can't. It's just a matter of fine tuning of it and getting it set up properly.
Well, if you think about it, you know, frequencies like how the microwave works, if you could get that same frequency with just voltage, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
What you could actually accomplish, because it wouldn't take a whole lot of current, amps, watts, and all that kind of stuff, you know, in order to accomplish what it is that you want to accomplish.
Right.
I'm surprised that no one has tried to use frequencies that match the material that they're pulsing it through.
Yeah, that's...
You know, if you're using copper, match the frequency of the copper atom.
Yeah.
And you'll get the same effect that... that Tesla did with that actuator when he almost knocked that building down, just by having the right frequency and a little tiny tap continuously being, you know, compounded over time.
Well, there's the key now to create a frequency generator that could go all the way from zero all the way up into the kilohertz range would be awesome.
Yeah, but what's the zero baseline, though? You know what I mean?
I didn't finish that thought. You know, you don't have to use the exact frequency that the element is on. You just have to use a harmonic of it. So, you know, if it's, let's say it's at 0.001, you can run it at 0.002, and that's, you know, double the frequency, so it matches every other pulse. It's hitting it again, you know. So it's matching it every other pulse at least.
Well, I seriously believe there's some potential on there. Old Muddy was telling me about a story how he used to have a little LED and a copper tubing or a copper winding around a little piece of tubing, and he had it set up on the wall so that whenever his buddy was in the neighborhood on his CB, he'd pick that signal up and he'd know how close his buddy was by how bright that bulb was.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Basically a swerve meter or something similar.
Yeah. So, you know, I think there's serious potential in there. And if you could actually, you know, if you could actually get, like, those static motors, because they're going to produce a frequency as well. You know, you can actually take and build a little radio transmitter by taking a capacitor and a blinking LED and a coil of wire And when you charge that thing up, as that thing is blinking off and on, you can pick it up on the radio. Because of that pulse of that frequency. You can tune it in, you can hear it on the radio.
Well, if you tune in to an AM radio, you can pick up transmissions from the sun and stuff like that. I mean, it's just the right frequency of what you're trying to find.
Yeah.
You know, that's the static noise of space.
So let's say you had a Van de Graaff wheel on a wind turbine outside, and that was producing the signal that was coming inside that you were using.
Yeah. Well, you know what I was thinking is, like, if you... Okay, I'm going to get a little out there, I guess.
Go for it, dog. Yeah. You're in the right place, man.
So, if you, I don't know if anybody's ever seen a UFO. I mean, they're a UFO. They're unidentified, right? But in order for them to work, if you've ever seen one, then you don't understand it, but to get to understand it, one potential possibility is that, you have static electricity, what we call static electricity, or triboelectricity. You know, it's, if you could harness that and have some type of crazy dynamo that is basically using the positive and negative potential, you could collect that positive and negative potential charge onto the outer layer of a craft, and you could switch the positive and negative potentials. You could essentially, through the potential of the environment, you could actually transverse through it. You know what I mean?
Well, since we live in an electric universe, there's magnetic fields in every different direction. So with that said, if you had a way by which you could tell, like a simple example is, I can't even remember what they called their, I use them in my magnetic field tester. Doggone it, what are these things called?
North pole detector.
They'll tell the difference between the north and south. I can't remember the doggone name right now.
The pole detector, right?
Oh, no.
It's one of those, like, you know, the PowerPoint testers, wireless PowerPoint testers. You just need to put it near.
So if you had a device that could tell you from whatever direction you were facing, whether it was positive or negative field that you were facing, and you could energize your ship and have the field, like, opposites attract positives, vice versa, you know how magnets will attract each other. So if you had a magnetic field over there on the south side, and you flipped that around to north, all of a sudden you'd rush over there real quick, you'd be there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm getting at. Yep, exactly.
And since you can test this out for yourself, too, you can take any transformer, and you can get one of these little AC, wireless AC voltage testers, and it will basically show you where there's a magnetic field that there's current going through there. If you test it out, you can find that you go in a perfect sphere all the way around that. When you try to trace out the field, where the field is, it's in a perfect sphere. So imagine if your craft... the field was being created around your craft, and then that was, how you would control the north and south, kind of like doing your own personal pole flipping deal.
Right.
By changing the polarity.
And using centrifugal force, too, you're collecting voltages, too, from, like, the static field. You're basically stirring the water, so to speak, electrical water around you in a way. You know, there's all kinds of different speculation possibilities, but it gets me thinking. That's why I was using it.
I still can't remember.
There's a problem with taking high voltages and stepping them down and creating a constant current with it. Like, that's kind of the quagmire, right? You have a Tesla coil, which could be ran in reverse.
Yep.
Tesla coils create a field, and those fields will couple one another. If you got two coils and they're too close together, and once you start, I can show you, when you get here, cultists, I'll show you a prime example of how that field can be disrupted and they'll actually couple with each other.
Yeah.
And because if you got two fields and they can reach each other, they will literally become one field.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to look for that doggone phrase, field. I know that what the doggone thing is. Doggone it.
Yeah.
Drives me nuts when I can't remember things like that. there's a little deal that they use to tell the North and South Pole, and I made a magnetic field tester that will tell the difference between the North and South Pole, and I just...
Hall effect sensor?
There you go! There it is! Thanks.
Yeah,
the Hall effect sensor. Anyway, imagine if you had your ship set up that had these strategically placed around it that would tell you North and South Poles, wherever you're at, because the fields are going to change. If you're going one direction, like the Earth or the Moon or whatever, you know, they're all going to have a different magnetic field. And so if you want to zoom in to the Moon, you find out which direction the field's facing on the Moon, and then you flip that field around so that you're suddenly attracted to it like a magnet, you know?
Yeah, right. The proximity sensors would determine where to stop and slow that pull down. And
even just creating maybe like a resonant bubble, you know, making your own self-sustained resonance to repel against the other resonant force that you're coming up against, you know?
Yeah,
see, the thing about it, anything that was within the field of your ship would go with you, you know? Anything that wasn't within that field would stay behind, so you wouldn't be dragging a bunch of junk with you. Hey, look at all that space debris flying through the deal there.
Cosmos. What is that? That's just a UFO.
Yeah, I'd like to see also like a load test, not only torque, but just how many could you, how many motors could you attach and all separately? You know what I mean? Like to one output of like a Tesla coil or whatever, just to see.
Yeah.
If there's a bog down on load like there is with our standard way of doing things, pushing the positive current through, supposedly the positive side of things.
Yeah.
Well, there's where I believe you'd get into wattage, like with you know, so many watts you can get so many miles, like your standard radio station, you know, 50,000 watts. How many miles radius does it have?
Right.
And the cool thing about that radius is that a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, it'll go out horizontal, but it also goes up vertical. So if you were 50 miles in air, you should be able to hear that radio station. If you were 50 miles underground, you should be able to hear that radio station.
Yep.
That field doesn't go in just a circle wave. It goes in a perfect sphere, which is pretty incredible.
But there's a certain frequency, so the ground is obviously going to, you know, either absorb or reflect some of that energy.
Yeah, it's kind of like being inside a metal house and then trying to use your cell phone. It's going to block out some of that field.
standing in a Faraday cage.
Yeah.
But transmitting power through the ground, that'd be interesting. Another interesting little concept to try to...
Well, Tesla used to do it. Tesla would put an incandescent...
Actually, transmitting power with Tesla coils, you need a very large antenna or a top load. If you're under, I don't think that would work if you're underground.
Well, it depends on which frequency we're running at, though.
Yeah. You can match the Earth's frequency in some way, or you. I mean, there's. I'd never say never.
I know for a fact frequencies are run through the ground. Tesla did it. Tesla put an incandescent light bulb about a mile away from where he was, and lit up the ground and lit up that light bulb. And that was an incandescent light bulb.
We were all just talking before about using frequency to resonate a particular kind of metal. Well, there's no difference between that and the Earth. I mean, one's a metallic, one's the Earth. It's really, but it's still something that exists in a harmonic plane. So,
and there are so many crystals. There are so many crystals and so many minerals in the Earth that the Earth makes an awesome transmitter.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, and an awesome battery.
And if you want to talk about subwoofers, caves out there with crystals, crystal linings in them caves, those are some bad, you know what, subwoofers.
It's bad.
Yeah. So. If you want to send one of them sounds across the planet and the apocalyptic sounds, you hit the right frequency in the dirt, and there you go, brother. Hey, somebody
start talking about like the ultra low frequencies that just saturate whatever it is you're pumping them to, I guess, and whatever frequency you're trying to match. But yeah,
That's why I was asking earlier, like, what is the zero point of frequency? Is there really a negative and positive frequency?
Well, I believe there's a negative. I believe there's a negative side. I believe just as high as you can go upward, you can go downward as well, because, you know.
Think about that, though. That might be the one point where we don't have an equal and opposite reaction, because think about negative. Okay, frequency is pulses per second, correct?
Right.
Now, how do you have negative pulses?
That's a good question.
It'd be pulses so incredibly small that you wouldn't be able to see them, maybe. I mean, that's about it. Well, then it would still be a positive. And we will only go down as far as, well, we'll call it the Planck time. You know?
Time constant? Yeah.
Yeah, like. So, yeah, I think it's the one point where we'll find that there is no equal and opposite.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
Because they can't, like, you know. My mere human brain cannot concept how that would work. Okay, that's how I'm going to put it. Because, you know, hey, I'm never going to say never, but I just, like, it's the one thing that old Cordy's brain just can't comprehend that one.
Well, with that said, then you're talking about getting down into, when I talk about going looking down into inner space as opposed to outer space, the smaller you get down there. Now you get into a world where the laws of physics don't seem to apply, because things just seem to appear and disappear at random depending on who's looking at them. And you're talking quantum physics, so how would you interact with the quantum physics world? If you could interact with the quantum physics world, what could you do?
If you use static electricity, the potential of the environment. So instead of thinking of a perceived concepts, it would be what is just there or isn't there as far as potential, you know, in the environment.
Well, don't go in that world.
Dead. It'd be nothing. That would be the opposite of pulse. Is no pulse. Yeah, well, it's like one point, isn't it? No pulse. Like, you can't go any further than no pulse. Like, well, I can't conceive how you would go any further than no pulse. Yeah.
Man, that's profound, man.
Like, welcome to the Knights of the Round Table.
Did we lose Thomas?
No, we lost someone. Mitko.
Mitko, yeah. Yeah. Hey, that thing about the quantum physics thing, where they get into observed and versus unobserved things, don't take that too literal there, because they're making a huge error. Like, they see something happen and they automatically assume that this is what's got to be going on. Like you hear people talking about the observed effect of particles going through two slots as opposed to unobserved, where at one point it acts like a wave, the other point it acts more like a particle.
Why can't it be a wave particle?
Well, this is a thing, though. You're not accounting for the fact of what their observation technology is.
Yeah.
The observation technology they are using is a radioactive component that they use for making, like, you know, your typical
it's like trying to measure DC with an AC voltage meter, you know.
So, well, essentially what you're saying is, down in inner space, things could be explainable if you had the right equipment.
See it, view it,
or
right.
Or you just think about what you're doing. I mean, just use a little more critical thinking. I mean, when you're working with a particle that's that incredibly small, any amount of energy that you exert on it, I mean, like, we're talking about particles going through a slit, right? What's the slit made out of? It's made out of atoms. And what do atoms do? They pulsate. They have frequencies.
Yeah.
So you've got a whole bunch of atoms that, when they're unobserved, i.e. there's no camera pointed at them, there's no more powerful pulse that's being pushed on those atoms to get them all lined up in unison so they're all pulsing the same at the same time. That means that they're basically all pulsing in a discordant manner. So anything that's going through there, every single particle that's going through there is going to get knocked about with a different timing from different atoms that it's gotten close to as it passes through that slit. So, of course, everything is going to have a completely different result than it is if you get everything pulsing simultaneously, so that all the particles going through there at one particular time are all being affected with exactly the same frequency.
Interacting with the same materials and stuff. And now they just collide
the same time. The same timing. That's it. The same timing.
Yeah. Well, and also, even just alpha waves, like, even just your
perception of seeing it, it affects the outcome as well, you know, so that's...
But you're still talking about very tiny particles being affected by, you know, the minuscule amount of energy that you're working with. So, you know, when you start scaling things up, you have to deal with a lot more random nature of things that you can't really control, and therefore that's where your issue is most of the time with being able to scale something out. We can't scale this up. I don't understand why. Well, it's because you can't basically get all of those atoms in that larger item to, you know, work in unison together like you were with the smaller unit. The smaller unit, you could get them all working in unison if you don't have as many atoms to wrangle and arrange, you know.
But I found with the pop-pop boat, you can scale that up if you modify it just a hair.
Yeah, you just got to figure it out. Because if you look at it this way, there's reoccurring patterns in nature over and over and over and infinitely, you know, according to our perception of it anyways. And like, you look at like any example you want to look at, like a tree. Like if you look at one tree, if you do your mathematics on that one tree, you can understand the entire forest. You know what I mean? So I think it's possible to scale things up. It's just a matter of figuring out.
Right, and that's exactly what I just said, though, is that you have to understand the overall frequency and work within that framework of frequency whenever you start scaling things up.
Oh, yeah.
If you're not working with that, then of course you're going to run into problems.
What about that experiment where you focus your mind on a laser to bend it?
Now that would be cool.
There was an experiment they actually showed it on Discovery Channel. You have a woman 12,000 miles away, and she focuses his mind on a laser and she was
now. That reminds me of something that Thomas has told me about, a little a lamp that you can change the color of with your mind.
Yeah, that's the company name is Siluron Incorporated.
Right.
They branched off of a research project called the Pear Institute Project from Princeton University many years ago, where they were basically setting up very finely tuned chaotic chips, so that basically, you know, they're constantly in balance until something very, very tiny or minuscule comes along and unbalances them, and then you focus on those to unbalance them.
Like putting your finger on
switch them on and off.
Like putting your finger on the base of a transistor.
Right.
No, as funny as that sounded, that's like quite exactly what it is, isn't it? Like, yep. I've actually seen someone on YouTube actually built a Geiger counter using only a transistor and a old coffee tin. And because it collects the beta or alpha waves, whatever it was able to trigger the transistor and give you a voltage reading, and you're able to measure, like, you know, obviously not to some 100% accuracy or probably even 20% accuracy, but it showed you that there was something radioactive there.
That's cool, right?
Well, see, and these are all the anomalies that I'm interested in. The things that you're talking about is incredible. You know, you can interfere with a magnetic field just by putting a doggone fluorescent bulb in the general vicinity, you know, when you're working with Tesla coils, because you can actually watch, if you got another bulb across the room, you can actually watch it dim down whenever you feed off of that field.
Yeah.
So those particular anomalies, I'm fascinated with, especially the one about using your mind to change the lamp or whatever.
Yeah.
You believe it or not.
If you can figure out how to get a hold of it, because not very many people got it, but if you can, the thing to search for, if you want to experiment with that on your computer, is a little program called Shape Changer. And the company name that put it out was called Mind Song Incorporated.
Well, believe it or not, we create magnetic fields. You know, we are electric, you know, energy. Exactly.
That's where the research ended up branching off into, is that they realized that basically the human brain is putting out a cloud of electrons and receiving, like, you know, a spider basically receives signals off of its spider web. It's receiving signals off of anything that interferes with that cloud. And they did a lot of testing with dogs that they use basically for people who have seizures, and how they're able to actually tell once they know what they're looking for. The dog knows how to tell when you're going to have a seizure before you do, because the dog's brain is putting out a cloud of electrons, and the electrons from a seizure put out a specific frequency and a specific pattern that the dog can recognize.
Yeah.
And they built technology that is actually like a factor of 100 more sensitive than that dog's brain.
Well, cultists,
when you can plug into a laptop and you can tell when someone's going to have a seizure once it's tuned to them, down to like literally within 5 minutes in an 8-hour period.
Well, cultists, when you get here, I'll show you in my lab how you can light up a light bulb by just putting your hand in just in the general vicinity. You'll get it to lighten up. You'll get that field to couple to your hand and light up.
Yeah, because your body stores is like a capacitor. It just stores the energy and transfers it over.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is some pretty amazing technologies. You know, you can change the voltage, like on the plasma ball. You know, I got a couple videos where I put 20 kilovolts to a plasma ball, and you can literally hear the difference whenever I put my hand on that thing. You can change the voltage of that thing just by where you put your hand on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it changes the potential.
Yeah.
My Slayer Exciter would do the same thing. It would form a resonant capacitance with your hand, and basically you could tune the Slayer Exciter through the resonant capacitance to your hand. And make the ball brighter or dimmer just by where you place your hand around the coil.
Well, look at those touchscreen TVs that they got, touchscreen computers. You touch it and you can drag stuff across the deal right there, you know. It's registering a difference in the voltage when you touch that thing. It's registering a difference, which allows you to be able to drag that across there. You know,
that depends on which type you're talking about. The one you're looking for is the touch capacitive screens, because the surface of the screen is a giant capacitor.
Yeah,
and there's a very sensitive set of leads on all four sides of your screen that are basically keeping track of how much of that electron field is filled. And how much it has to pump into it to fill it back up.
Well, I guess what I was trying to get to is that if you could write a computer program and be able to run a difference by measuring the differences of the voltages depending on where your hand was on that plasma ball, you could get that plasma ball to turn things on and off by wherever your hand was, by the difference of the voltage, because the computer would recognize so many volts means turn this on. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. I will say, actually, the software's been written. And if you want to look for the free copy of it, just look up 3M touchscreens. They've got serial and USB-based technology out there. If you want to find one of those circuit boards to you know, tinker with, just go see if you can find yourself a touchscreen monitor from, like, a casino. They're in the back side of them. They just run off of 12 volts, too. They're pretty amazing little deals.
Well, I need to look into that, because that falls into some of my experiments.
Yeah, I've got a number of them sitting around here somewhere. I used to have a couple big boxes full of them, because when you find those being discarded, those electronic recyclers will sell you an entire LCD screen for like $5.
Man, I'll tell you what, anytime somebody's throwing away electronics, if you was my neighbor, Thomas, and you lived across the street and you threw an old computer out on the deal, you'd see something look like a crazy old man with wild hair run over there, grab that out of your trash and say, "Thank you, brother," and I'd be running back over to my lab and gutting it to see what's inside.
I've pulled over a couple times that, you know, I have a drill and just start undrilling the TV and taking off
most of
the phone. Yeah. And people driving by looking at you like, what the heck is wrong with that guy?
Not me. I'll throw the whole TV in my back and go. It'd be like they'd be hollering at you on your way out. "Hey, you old trash picker." Yeah, and then I holler back, "Hey, one man's junk is another man's treasure."
I think that kind of thing is important, to recycle all that you can as much as you can.
It saves
a lot of energy and keeps a lot of waste from going into things that you're going to be consuming.
There's companies,
the lead and all that stuff, man. The last thing you want is for it laying out there in the ground, leaking off into the water that you're drinking.
There's companies out there that advertise they'll buy your old cell phones. Now, some of them's offering pretty good prices for old cell phones. I wonder why.
Yep.
Got to be something in their value.
Cell phones have tons of precious metals in them. I mean, tons being pretty small, usually, the cell phone itself. But, you know,
the cell phone, though, is compared to how little material there is in a cell phone, it's actually a pretty high quantity, a high percentage of it.
Yeah, very much so.
Wow. Well, guys, we're getting down to the wire, man. We're down to the last of it. So I guess this is about the time we go around to see if anybody got anything last to say. It's been an amazing yet interesting show today, especially with that doggone Australian invasion coming on. I just don't know what to think about that whole thing. I've been threatened with Vegemite and everything so far. So I don't know what to do about that whole deal. So, you know, anybody got any ideas or plans?
What's going on with Virtual Labs?
Oh, well, we better hurry up with that because we're running really short on time. Cultist, do you know any updates on Virtual Labs?
Mate, as I warned everyone, I'd be offline for a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks once I got here. You're lucky I'm here today. So, like, yeah, I know nothing. I've barely spoken with Ken, so... Well, I do know that he is on the ball. He knows what next phase we're at. We all do need to sit around and have a roundtable discussion with Ken about Virtual Labs, just so that he can get everything squared away. Now that we're all in the same time zone, or roughly within the same time zone, it shouldn't be too hard. So we'll get something together.
And if it's any consolation, whenever I get my final lab done, I'm already getting several cameras because I want a camera angle from every single angle whenever I'm running my lab experiments, so that whenever I'm on Virtual Labs, if there's something exciting happening, you're going to see it from all different angles.
Yeah.
And
it's all good stuff.
If I could afford the bandwidth, I'd run it 24/7 so you could see it even whenever I was asleep. Because I'm going to tell you, you know, and it doesn't really matter to me who believes it or not. I've seen some things in my lab when I was running frequency experiments that boggled me. Now, whether it was frying my brain out and I was hallucinating or whatever, I can't tell you. But what I can tell you is while running frequencies, I know for a fact, I got a 5-disc CD changer up here that I'll show you when you get here, Cultist.
Yep.
I hit the right frequency, and that thing literally, the door started going in and out, in and out, in and out, and my computer started freaking out. The door on the 5-disc CD changer jammed, and it hasn't went back in since. I mean, it's stuck. It's jacked up. But I hit the right frequency that anything in the general vicinity that had a remote control was freaking out. So... You know, there's anomalies,
there's stuff we can't explain, and we'd love to explain, but sometimes, you know, at the end of the day, if you know, we can't explain it, but it works, then explanation isn't required, mate. It just works.
Somebody else will do that.
Someone else will try to disprove us, and they can work it out. Bugger them.
I just want people to see what it is that I'm seeing when things are going on. That's it.
Yeah.
You know.
No, you don't think you've been up too long and you're tripping out.
Yeah, if you see it and it's live, then you know I'm not bogus, and so that's why I want it. I want Virtual Labs. I want Virtual Labs worse than anything in the world, because
yep.
I want people to see what it is that I'm seeing when I'm doing these crazy experiments.
I just like the thought of a bunch of minds teaming together and trying to put together something that's relatively inexpensive that can help people out with, you know, making energy, because that's... You know, if you can make energy, you can desalinate water, you can keep people warm, you can keep food refrigerated. There's so many applications. So.
Well, I agree with that, and that's my ultimate goal, is to prove free energy once and for all, beyond a shadow of doubt. Prove or disprove it, you know, that way we can either put up or shut up, that kind of thing. Anyway,
exactly.
We're down to the wire. Live Mike's coming on next. He's getting ready to take over at the top of the hour, so everybody want to go around it real quick and say something?
Yep. All right, start with me. All you got to do is, for information on me and what's going on, go to my links on cultist.weebly.com and suss out everything there. Make sure you go to Creativity SG's link there and her YouTube channel. Subscribe, and there's plenty of extra little tidbits there of Cultist coming to America and some funny outtakes and stuff there. So make sure you take a look. And Thomas.
I don't have anything more
to
say.
He's got nothing to say.
Before,
got it.
So, yeah, I got nothing.
Yeah, just a good show as always, and thanks so much for spitballing. I hope everyone has a wonderful day and a wonderful week.
All right, that it?
Stalker.
Stalker, you there, brother?
Yeah, I'm here. I don't have a love.
He says peace and love to everyone.
That's a wonderful show. Peace and love to everyone.
All right, everybody. Peace and love. Stay tuned for Live Mike Show coming up here right shortly. And with that said, you know, stay tuned. Virtual Labs is in the process. And once we get the cameras going, you know, it's all up to us to make things happen. We got the tools. We got the technology. And we got the willpower. So with that said, stay tuned for the next Knights of the Roundtable. Peace and love, everybody. Take care.
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're Knights of the Round Table. We dance where we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to put work impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're Knights of the Round Table. Our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off to mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Fulfills the turbo, and the Knights of the Round Table.